Good to be with you all this morning. Thank you for all of you coming out here this morning. Thank the good Lord for the opportunity to be here in His house. I mean, you just thank God every time you get the chance to come to His house, because you know, you never know. There may be one of these days you will never be able to be in His house. You don't know, but praise God for the day that you are here. Thank God for the opportunity you have here this morning. And do not let this opportunity slip by you this morning. Amen? Do not let it slip by. I'm going to be over in 1 Kings this morning. If you want to turn there, the 9th chapter, I'll be over there. And I'm going to read the 10th through the 13th verse. But let's go ahead. I'm going to open up in prayer. I'm going to do a little bit of backdrop here, then we'll read the scripture. So just bear with me here a little bit. So let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank you this morning. I thank you for the songs that have been sung here. I thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to stand behind this desk, Lord. I thank you for all the prayers that you've answered, Lord. And I thank you for the ones that you're going to answer, Lord. Now, I pray, Lord, this morning that you would fill my mouth, Father, with this morning, with what you would give me to preach. I pray that this morning. I pray that we can be uplifting and encouraging, Father. I pray that if needed, it can be convicting as well, Father. For Lord, we know that you are that kind of a God, Lord. I ask it in your Son, in my King's name, Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. I'll just give you a little bit of a backdrop here this morning of what I'm going to try to, before we get to this. This is a very interesting story, by the way, and I'm about to read. It goes into something like this. What it tells us is it's a relationship, this relationship between Solomon and King Hiram. This is what this is talking about here a little bit. And actually, this relationship started a few years before this. If you read with the scripture I'm going to read here in a little bit, we're going to talk about this relationship a little bit. We all know that David wasn't allowed to build the temple. We know that. He wasn't allowed to do it because it said he was a man of war and he shed much blood. Greg said before, I could go into a lot more detail on everything, but that was the gist of why God wouldn't let him to build it. So the task of building the temple fell upon Solomon. That's who it did. And Solomon, and even though David couldn't build the temple, you know what God allowed David to do? He allowed him to stockpile a lot of stuff to build the temple with. He allowed him to do that, and we can find that over in 1 Chronicles 22. And one of the materials that he allowed him to stockpile, he allowed him to supply to go to this King Hiram and say, "Listen, I'm going to need some cedar trees." And whether or not you realize it or not, at one time, if you go to Lebanon now in that area over there now, you don't find those kind of trees now. But at one time, they said that country had trees just as large and as many trees as the redwood forest had. Just imagine that. So there was a lot of lumber. There was a lot there. But whenever David passed away, Hiram sent word. This king sent word to Solomon. He said he wanted to carry on the relationship with Solomon and his family. And it's in 1 Kings 5:1, and Hiram, king of Tyre, sent his servants unto Solomon, for he had heard that they had anointed him king in the room of his father, for Hiram was ever a lover of David. He thought the world of David, this king did. So Solomon continues relationships, what he does. And he wants him to supply trees, and he does. He does all that stuff, and there's a lot more. In agreement, now this is what I want you to get here a little bit. In agreement for doing this, Solomon agrees to send him, now get this, 3,600 ton of wheat and 120,000 gallons of olive oil each year. That's what Solomon agrees to send to this king in exchange for what he did. And Solomon, and the scripture I'm going to read to you this morning, now I've got a point to all this, and I want you to just bear with me on this, but I want to give you a little bit of backdrop. So the scripture I'm going to read, now let's stand, and if you could care in honor of God's word this morning, 1 Kings, we're going to read chapter 9, beginning with verse 10. And it came to pass at the end of 20 years, when Solomon had built the two houses, the house of the Lord and the king's house. Now Hiram, the king of Tyre, had furnished Solomon with cedar trees and fir trees and with gold, according to all his desire. That then King Solomon gave Hiram 20 cities in the land of Galilee. And Hiram came out from Tyre to see the cities which Solomon had given him. And get this, and they pleased him not. And he said, "What cities are these which thou hast given me, my brother?" And he called them the land of Kabul. Have you heard that lately? And he called that the land of Kabul unto this day. Let us pray. Again, let us pray. I just want to pray again over this. Father, Lord, this message, Lord, is something, Father, that's for you this morning, Lord. I pray. Thank you, Lord. I ask it, Lord, that it would go out, and Father, that we could give you the praise for it all in Jesus' name, and amen. You may be seated. Thank you again. Thank you for bearing with me. And he called the land of Kabul. You notice it's spelt with a C there, but if you go out and look, it's spelt just exactly the same way as the city is spelt today. You've heard a lot about it today. We're not talking about the same places. I'm not saying that. So get this. This is Kabul, Israel. There's a Kabul, Afghanistan, which we've heard about today. But do you know what Kabul means? It means good for nothing. That's what Kabul means. It means good for nothing. Some feel Solomon was trying to pull a trick on him. This is not the angle I want to take this morning. Because what I want to get across to you this morning, but I have a different take. For 20 years, Solomon agreed and sent to Hiram, all for payment, wheat and oil. And I want you to understand and remember that he sent wheat and oil. For 20 years he did this. And you know what Kabul was known for at that time? It was known for its wine and for its oil. That's what it was known for. It had all kind of olive trees. This is important. It was all kind of, and there was farmland up in that area as well. And there was land that could be cultivated up in there. It was right on the border of where this king sat. And this king, and Solomon was trying to give it to him. And God, listen to me. There's an old saying, and I wrote this down because I want everybody. There was farmland there that could be cultivated. There was olive trees there that they could have got the oil for. Now, for 20 years, Solomon supplied. He supplied wheat and he supplied oil. That's what the king wanted for those 20 years. There's an old saying, and I know my grandmother used to say this. Give a man a fish and he will eat for a day. Teach a man how to fish and he can feed himself for a lifetime. And I believe Solomon was doing King Hiram a very good favor. I think he was doing a favor. You see, like he said, he kept supplying him with this wheat and with this oil. Now, for 20 years was up. The commitment was over. This 20 years was done. So Solomon says, I'm going to give you all these 20 cities, all this land up there. And what you can do with that, King Hiram, if you could really look above everything else, what you can see is, I'm giving this to you so you could cultivate it to grow wheat. I'm giving it to you so you can have it to get oil for your people, to supply the need for your people. But he couldn't see it. Hiram couldn't see it. He couldn't see the olive trees. He couldn't see the land there. If you're hungry and in need of food, we know this, if you're hungry and in need of food, you could have all the gold, all the money in the world, all that you want, and if you can't buy food, it still doesn't matter if you have all this gold, if you have all this wealth, it doesn't matter. Because, brother and sister, you know what? When you're hungry for food, you want food. That's what you want. You can still have all that. Hiram needed food to feed his people. Solomon was offering a solution, but he could not see it. All kind of oil to be had. All they had to do was claim it. Brothers and sisters, land. Solomon told him, I'm giving you something. Hiram came out from Tyre to see the cities which Solomon had given him, and they pleased him not. And he said, what cities are these which thou hast given me, my brother? And he called that land Kabul unto this day. Solomon, this land is Kabul. He's saying it's good for nothing. Let me bring it down to my point here this morning. When Solomon gave these cities, he was getting something for nothing. When Solomon gave him those cities, that man was getting something for nothing. It was just extra. When I got saved, when you got saved, God got nothing for something. He got us. He got me. I'll just point to myself this morning. I was nothing. I was worth, in all honesty, I was worth was nothing compared to what God gave up, that you and me could have salvation one day. And there are people out there today that look at what God has done, look over all the sacrifice that He has made, and they say it's nothing but Kabul. It's a cabal. That's what they say. They say it's nothing but cabal is what they say. They say it is nothing. I want you to know something here this morning. God gave His very best. He gave his very best. And no matter what you think of anybody else on this planet, no matter what you think anybody else has done, how low that you think they are, you may think that they're good for nothing. But I'm here to tell you this morning, in the sight of God, they are everything in his sight. Ephesians 2:8 says this, "Whereas by grace you were saved through faith. It is not of yourself. It is the gift of God." A lot of folks thought I was good for nothing one day. I'm just telling you, I know. In my teenage years, a lot of people thought I would never amount to anything. And never, I'm being quite honest with you. The aunt that just passed away, she was one of them that thought I could amount to something one day. And praise God's name. You know what? She is in heaven this morning, and I'm going to get to go there one day. Though people thought that I was nothing, good for nothing, praise God, she seen something in me. Wouldn't amount to much of anything, but God looked on this whole cobble right here, this good for nothing human being. And can I tell you something? If you're honest with yourself, here this morning, I want you to know something. You think the same thing about yourself. Because you know what? One day you weren't a fit subject for the kingdom of heaven. You weren't. No matter what you think of yourself, you were not. It takes the blood of Jesus Christ. It took what he is offering. It took that to put it. And others didn't think that way about me because Jesus Christ came into my heart one day, Alita. I want to tell you something this morning. Whenever he came into my heart, I felt like I was something. I felt like I deserved. I felt like I deserved to be on this planet. I felt like that. And the scribes and the Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, "What did ye eat and drink with the publicans and sinners?" And Jesus answering unto them said, They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but I come to call the sinners to repentance. I'm here to tell you this morning that Jesus Christ died for everyone that has ever been born on this planet. And whether or not that you accept it, that is totally up to you. But praise God, he doesn't think anybody is good for nothing. Amen? We find in 2 Chronicles 8, eventually Hiram give this back. Eventually, if you read, he give these 20 cities back because he didn't think that they were worth anything. He didn't like the gift. What does Solomon do with them? He gives them to his own people. It's what he does. If you read on in there, Solomon tells him, if you don't want them, I'll give them to somebody that wants them. Praise God, I want you to know something here this morning. You may step on the grace of God. You may go on. You may not accept the gift of Jesus Christ of dying on the cross. You may do that this morning. I do not know your heart here. But I can tell you, there will be somebody out there that will accept the gift of God, that will take it and praise God. They will grab a hold of it. And if the gift is given back, if you just step it under your feet, if you throw pearls before swine, I'm here to tell you this morning, praise God, there's going to be somebody who's going to accept it one day. It's going to be somebody like me. It's going to be somebody like people sitting in this church one day that knew that they were lost and they were in need of a Savior. And that free gift was there. And they knew that. And all they had to do was come and accept it. And praise God, you may be sitting here this morning. You may think that you're good for nothing. You may think that you're nothing but cobble here this morning. But I'm here to tell you, God feels differently about you. Jesus, the Jews rejected Jesus. We know they did. We know what they did. Jesus said one time when he's talking about it, he said a man's not even worthy of his own neighbors and his own friends, he said. So they even rejected him. But guess what? In John 10:16, Jesus said, "And other sheep have I, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." You, brothers and sisters, if you're not, I don't know if there's any Jews in here this morning, but I don't know, but praise God if you're a Gentile, if you're in here this morning. And that's talking to us. We're those other sheep. We're those other sheep. We're those ones that Jesus Christ said, you know what? The Jews may have thought you're worthless and everybody else did, but praise God, one of these days you're going to be part of the sheepfold. And praise His name this morning. We are part of that sheepfold this morning. We are part of that. And praise God, you're not worthless. You're not some just old black sheep of the family, but praise God, you are one of His this morning if you're saved. The Jews rejected it, but praise God, Jesus knew. That's us. Some of you have been rejecting the gift of salvation for years. There have been some that have rejected it for years. And if you love me, tell you you're walking on thin ice this morning if you're doing that. Year after year, you hear the message and maybe you and just walk away and say, I'm okay, I'm good, later on. In Luke chapter 10, it talks about disciples, about folks rejecting the message. And it says this, He that heareth you, heareth me. He that despiseth me, despises him that sent me. And despises means reject. I don't know your heart this morning. Why? That's why I preach the way I do. I don't know nobody's hearts in here this morning. I could be sitting here this morning and everybody in this building could be saved. But brothers and sisters, I could be sitting here and there could be a lot of people that do not know Jesus as their Savior. And I'm telling you, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that you need to come and give it to God because you have no guarantee that there will be another day. Don't reject it. Matthew 7:6, give not that which is unholy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Some people, and I say this with sadness in my heart, I really do, I say this, will never receive the gift of salvation, the free gift. It's free to everybody, and the Bible said as long as there's breath, there's always hope. But I'm here to tell you this morning, some people will die that have heard the gospel message and go out of this world and will never, ever receive that gift. I'm telling you. I'm just here to tell you, and God did not want it that way. He does not want it that way because, praise God, you are not worthless. You are not no good for nothing. In God's eyes, you're not. They will never understand what God has done for them. Not in this world. Some even like King Hiram will get offered the gift and take it as an insult. I've heard people and talked to people that whenever you talk to them about that they need salvation and that they need to be saved, and they'll tell you, well, I'm a good person. What are you talking about? And they get kind of offended in the gift that you're trying to offer them. I'm here to tell you this morning, don't get offended because God did it all for you. I'm going to tell you this morning, there's a bunch of good people that's going to split hell wide open. I've known some pretty good people in my life. I've told you this before. I know some people that if you didn't know any better, you'd think they were Christians, but they aren't Christians. They were good people. But I'm here to tell you this morning, you've got to be born again. You've got to be saved. God had provided wheat and oil for this king and his people by the hand of Solomon. And it says in Kings 5:11, and Solomon gave him all that wheat, that measures of wheat and all that, year, and it says at the end of it, year after year, after year, year after year. Do you know what the wheat and the oil represent? The wheat makes the bread, and the bread of life. The oil represents the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, God has given us the bread of life. He's given us the Spirit, and He gives it to us year after year, month after month, day after day, year, hour after hour. God is giving that to a lost and a dying world and to His people. The free gift. He's given it to them year after year. And the Bible tells us Jesus is that bread of life. And I'm offering that here this morning. And when you accept the bread of life and the Holy Spirit comes into your life, I'm here to tell you, it can go with you to lead and guide and direct your life. Praise God. Brothers and sisters, year after year, God supplies. God supplied. I've heard Christians, we know what that is about, do we not? If you're a Christian here this morning, you know what it means to have God supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory. He does that. And can I say something else here this morning? He has done above and beyond sometimes in a lot of our lives. Can you say amen to that? He's met our needs and He's went above our needs. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But there are others who are lost. These people are still being blessed by God. Believe it or not, they are. They're being blessed with health and with decent jobs and with good families. And I could go on and on and on how people are being blessed. And their lives go on year after year after year. I've seen it. And it seems like they don't even care. The unsaved get blessed year after year and don't give God one thought. Think it doesn't happen? Remember the story of Lazarus and the rich man? What did it say about him? It said, there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. He lived a good life every day. He was living that. Jeremiah even asked this question. And I know you probably have heard this scripture before. Wherefore doeth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are they happy that deal very treacherously? Jeremiah asked that question. And I guarantee you there's probably been times in your life you have seen the wicked, and you've seen people of the world on television. It seemed like they're just going along and just being happy and just going along in their lives and everything's just going fine. And yet folks today prosper year after year, and a lot of these folks don't even give God the time of day. But yet, the bread of life is there. The Spirit is still there. It's for their taking, for them to get, but they do not take it. They don't want to accept it. God has allowed it to rain on the just and the unjust. He has, because he is a righteous judge. He gives everybody the chance. He gives everybody the chance. Listen, and even though they are blessed, they still don't realize where the blessings are coming from. They reject the message of the gospel. They reject the free gift of salvation. They reject all that. You see, every year God supplies. Every year he does. And yet the world looks at this free gift, and you know what they say? They say it's cabal. They say it's cabal. That's what they say. It's good for nothing. In their eyes, it's good for nothing to them because they don't want it. They don't think that they need it. They don't think that it's something that they will need. And they think that we're the crazy ones. Remember how they told about Paul, how Festus said, Paul said, much learning has made you mad? And life goes on for them seemingly without being held accountable. But Hebrews, over in Hebrews 29, says this, of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who has trodden underfoot the Son of God and has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and has done despite the Spirit of grace. Brothers and sisters, we're living in the day of grace right now. You're living it. I said this over and over again. Today is the day of grace. The day of grace will end someday. It's going to end. And whenever that ends, then judgment. And not only that day of grace, you may go out of this world before that time even comes, before he even comes and gets his church. You may go out of this world as an individual. You stand before a just God. For we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It is a fearful thing. Folks, I believe even some Christians fall into this rut. I believe that some Christians will even fall into this rut. We are blessed year after year. God has supplied us with the bread of life with Jesus. He supplied us with the Spirit. And year after year, we are blessed. And you know what? And when he's done, and he said that, we say to ourselves, and yeah, but still, it's still not quite enough to some people. It's still not just quite enough for some people. God, you know what? What about COVID, God? We've all dealt with this the past year and a half. God, where have you been at? What's going on, God? Year after year, month after month, and day after day, God is still blessing. Folks, if we are to be honest with ourselves, he has given us, even this last year and a half, more than what we deserve. Amen. I can tell you, just my family, me and my wife have both had COVID. She's had it twice. And this is not saying we both had it. Praise God, he got us through it. But you know what? He could have taken us home just as well. And if he would have taken us home, praise God, I'd have been shouting up on the streets of glory today. I don't have a death wish. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just telling you, praise God. As Paul said, you know, if I stay here, I'm going to live for the Lord. If I go home, praise His name, I'm going home to glory one day. You have to, folks, to be honest with yourself, He's given us more. He's given us the wheat. He's given us the oil. He has guided us. Yes, things have been trying the last couple of years. I'm just going to tell you, I know that as a minister. And as a church, I know how trying it has been. I listened to Rose Becker talk about, she hadn't even got to be able to see her mom here in the last. Listen, I know what that's about with her mother-in-law and stuff. I know what this is about. Praise God, though. Listen, God has been good. Yes, things have been trying. Folks, we can't just happen but look out over the destruction that COVID has caused. Just look out over it. And you know what? We could say that's nothing but cabal. Kabul. That's Kabul. That COVID was good for nothing, right? We could probably say that. But can I tell you something? God has used that to get people saved. He has used it to bring people closer to God. He has used it to show families that, listen, you need to get closer to God. He's used it. He's brought people closer. And I can tell you that in my own instances. I know that He has done that because that's the kind of people have been saved during the Ecclesiastes 3:1. And this is something you need to understand about this. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. Now notice something it doesn't say there. It doesn't say there's always a reason. It says this, to everything there is a season. It doesn't mean there has to be a reason for it. Sometimes do we not look and want to find a reason to everything? That's because we're human beings. And we try to reason everything out, God's ways are higher than ours, folks. Oh, man, they are higher than ours. His ways are much higher than ours. You try to figure this thing out, you're not going to figure it out because it doesn't happen. I believe God can bring good from bad situations and bad decisions. I believe He can bring good. What you look at is cabal. What you look at is good for nothing. God has a purpose and He had a reason. He had a reason for COVID to come upon this earth and let it come the way that He did. He has a reason for it. I don't know. We will look back one of these days and say, God, praise Your name. You knew what You were doing. Today, you look at it and you probably don't think that. But I'm here to tell you, God has a reason. Folks, God has given each of us the wheat and He's given each of us that are saved the oil. Praise His name. He's given it to us. But we've got to be willing. The bread of life and the Spirit, all you have to do is accept it. All you've got to do, and I believe you'll find your life isn't a bunch of good-for-nothing stuff once you get Jesus into it. I've felt that in my life. I've seen it down through it. I know. And Greg said this morning, complain. Oh, man, I'll tell you what. There's times. I'm going to be honest with you. I've complained a lot, Michelle, in the last year and a half. I don't know about anybody else in this place. I've complained. And Greg's right. I've had to get on my knees and say, Lord, forgive me. Because there have been times I've complained. And about this or about that or why is this and that. Praise God. I've learned, God, You're in control of this thing. And it does me no good to complain. Because you know what? Thy will be done. Thy will be done, not mine. Don't you think we always think we have a better plan than God? Don't you think that? We always think in our little minds, God, I wouldn't do it that way. Praise His name. When it's all said and done, we will be praising and shouting for glory because God knows what He's doing. I tell you this morning, it's about the cross. It's about the bread of life hanging on that cross. It's about whenever He went, He said He would send the Comforter. That oil, that Spirit. The Spirit is here today to guide and direct each of us. Don't know about your life here this morning. I don't know if you feel that you're worthless. I hope you don't. But I can tell you, if you feel that way this morning, I know somebody that doesn't think that you are worthless. And He wants you to come up here, just all over here this morning, and turn your life over to Him and let Him lead, guide, and direct it. After that, praise His name this morning. So let's stand.